Welcome back to another deep dive. Today we're going to be looking at something I think a lot of people are thinking about these days.
Okay.
And that is the idea of thinking and acting locally. We've all seen what's been happening nationally.
Yeah.
Things are a little bit crazy.
For sure.
Maybe more than a little bit.
Yeah, a lot crazy.
And so we thought it'd be interesting to dive into some ideas from Tom Woods.
All right.
Who you might know, he's the author of a couple New York Times bestsellers.
Mm-hmm.
The Politically Incorrect Guide to American History Meltdown.
I've heard of those.
And also, he was awarded the Hayek Lifetime Achievement Award, which...
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty prestigious.
So clearly somebody who's thought very carefully about this stuff for a long time.
Yeah.
And we're going to be focusing on excerpts from one of his ebooks.
Okay.
Which he offers for free, by the way, at tomsfreebooks.com.
Oh, cool.
You can get tons of free books there.
Wow.
But the one we're looking at is called National Divorce. And, you know, if you think everything is going swimmingly in the United States, this is not the book for you.
Right.
This is for people who are maybe looking at what's happening and thinking,
yeah,
there's got to be a better way.
I think a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Woods tackles this thing that he called moral imperialism.
Moral imperialism.
Which is this idea that, like, there's one set of morals that's correct.
Yeah.
And everybody else has to just fall in line.
Yeah. You see that all the time.
Oh, absolutely. We can see this in a lot of the, you know, the big debates of the day.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about things like Black Lives Matter, gender theory being taught in schools, the COVID restrictions.
Yeah, that was a big one.
I mean, people have very strong feelings.
For sure.
On all sides of all these issues.
Yeah.
And sometimes it seems like there's no room for nuance.
Right.
It's like you have to pick a side.
Yeah. And Woods points out this irony.
Okay.
Which is that the people who are so often saying,
oh, you shouldn't impose your morality on other people.
Right.
Are very often the same people who are saying,
yeah,
if you don't agree with my morality, you're evil.
You're a bad person.
You don't need to be silent.
There's no room for you in society.
Wow. Yeah, that is ironic.
And so, you know, is this constant conflict really contributing to human flourishing?
Right. Are we all happier because of this?
Is this really how we're supposed to live together?
Doesn't seem like it.
So Woods has this kind of radical proposal.
Okay.
And that is, what if we just stopped? Hmm. Like, what if we recognize that not everybody has to live by the same moral code or the same set of values?
Like, live and let live, kind of?
Yeah, and he even connects this to the dangers of totalitarianism.
God, wow.
This idea that, you know, if you're trying to create this perfect society and everybody has to conform to that, you know what happens to the people who don't conform? Yeah. You know what happens to dissent?
Yeah, history doesn't look too kindly on that. Not really, and he quotes the philosopher Michael Oakeshott.
Okay.
Who said, who in fields Elysian would dwell, do but extend the boundaries of hell.
Hmm, that's a good one.
You know, you're trying to create this utopia
right
by force.
Yeah.
But in doing so, you might actually be creating a dystopia.
You're just creating a different kind of hell.
So if we step back from this Hobbesian world,
okay.
You know, Thomas Hobbes, everybody probably remembers from high school or college.
The Leviathan.
Right, the Leviathan. And this idea that, you know, there has to be a single sovereign power that has absolute authority.
And everyone has to submit to it.
Right. Everybody has to submit to it.
Okay.
So if we step back from that vision, Woods introduces us to a guy you've probably never heard of.
Okay. I'm intrigued.
Johannes Althusius.
Althusius.
Now, Althusius was a 17th century Dutch federation theorist.
Interesting.
And he had a very different vision of society.
Oh, okay.
He saw it as this kind of multi-layered thing, where you have these smaller societies that are nested within larger societies.
Okay.
So you have the family, then you have the village.
The town.
The town, the region, and all of these are working together.
Interesting.
In a kind of symbiotic relationship.
So not just top-down power.
Not just this flat plane of everybody submitting to the great power.
Yeah, more organic.
Yeah.
I like it.
And this is very relevant to the American situation.
Okay.
Because, you know, we have this ongoing debate about, you know, what is the proper balance of power between the federal government and the states?
Federalism.
Yeah.
Big question.
And so Woods lays out these two competing theories about the American Union.
Right.
One is the nationalist theory,
which
is very much in line with the Hobbesian vision.
Okay.
The idea that ultimately the federal government is the supreme authority.
Okay.
And the states are really just subdivisions.
Gotcha.
And then you have the compact theory.
Compact.
Which is more in line with Althusius,
right,
this idea that the states came together voluntarily,
right,
retaining their sovereignty,
okay,
and having the right to leave.
If they want to.
If they want to. If they feel like the union is no longer serving their interests.
Interesting.
And so this brings us to this very loaded term.
Yeah.
Secession.
Yeah. I was wondering where this was going.
But anyway,
big word. I mean, it's like almost like a taboo word.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You can't even bring it up.
Especially, you know, in light of the Civil War.
All right.
I mean, it's like.
Everybody just shuts down.
You say secession and it's like, oh.
You're a racist.
You want to bring back slavery?
Yeah, like you're a Confederate.
And Woods is saying, hold on a second.
Yeah, let's not.
Let's pump the brakes a little bit.
Yeah.
And actually think about what this could look like.
In a modern context.
In a modern context.
Yeah.
You know, and how it could actually be a solution to some of the problems that we're facing today.
Yeah.
So before we get into like the nitty-gritty of secession,
okay,
let's actually define what Woods means by moral imperialism.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good place to start.
Because that seems to be at the heart of a lot of his arguments.
Yeah, it's like a core concept for him.
So what is he talking about when he says moral imperialism?
Well, he's basically saying that it's when one group of people,
okay,
believes that their moral framework is like inherently superior,
mm-hmm,
and they want to impose it on everyone else.
Okay.
And they don't see any room for like alternative viewpoints.
Or even just like
different ways of life.
Yeah, like different ways of being.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not even necessarily like a conscious thing.
Right. It's just like an assumption.
Yeah. It's just like, this is a right way to be.
Yeah. This is the only way to be a good person.
And if you're not doing it this way,
you're a bad person.
Then you're wrong.
Yeah.
You're bad. You're evil.
Yeah.
And so this national divorce idea.
Okay.
I mean, he's not necessarily advocating for like a literal breakup of the United States. Right.
Although it's not ruling it out.
Okay.
But he's more interested in exploring.
Yeah.
Could there be a more decentralized system?
Okay.
Where states have more autonomy?
Okay.
To kind of chart their own course?
Yeah. So like different states could have different,
yeah,
you know, moral frameworks almost.
And, you know, maybe people could kind of sort themselves out.
Yeah. Go to the state that aligns with your values.
Right.
Interesting.
So it's not so much about drawing lines on a map,
no,
as it is about rethinking the balance of power,
okay,
between the federal government and the states.
So like more power to the states.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, wouldn't that just lead to chaos?
That's what a lot of people would say.
I mean, what about things like the national debt?
Yeah. Who gets stuck with the bill?
Right.
Yeah.
And what about the fact that states themselves are divided?
Right. Like you have red counties and blue counties.
So it's like, would this just create like
a bunch of mini civil
wars? Yeah. A bunch of mini civil wars within each state. Interesting question.
And Woods says, yeah, these are valid concerns.
Yeah.
But he thinks that they can be addressed,
okay,
for example,
yeah,
with the national debt.
Yeah.
He points out that during the Civil War,
mm-hmm,
there were actually negotiations about how to allocate the debt.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's not like there's no precedent.
So there's a historical roadmap for this.
There's a historical roadmap.
Interesting.
For figuring some of this stuff out.
Okay.
And as for the divisions within states,
yeah,
he suggests that secession could actually lead to even further decentralization.
Oh, wow.
So you could have like counties or regions,
uh-huh,
that opt for different systems.
Okay, so like a county could secede from a state?
Potentially, yeah.
Wow, that is radical.
So, you know, imagine a state where you have like, yeah, some counties that are very conservative.
And some that are very liberal.
And some that are very liberal.
Oh, okay.
And maybe they could have more control over things like education.
Oh, interesting.
Healthcare, social welfare programs.
So they could tailor those programs to their specific values.
To their specific values.
Wow.
So instead of this one-size-fits-all approach,
mm-hmm,
you have a system where different communities within a state,
yeah,
can kind of tailor their policies
to what their people want.
To what their people want.
Okay, I'm starting to see how this could work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, okay, let's talk about the elephant in the room.
Okay.
The economy.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't breaking up the country or even just giving states more power lead to economic instability?
Yeah, yeah, that's a big concern.
And wouldn't that just make everybody worse off?
Right.
Woods acknowledges that there are economic considerations.
Yeah.
But he also argues that greater decentralization,
okay,
could actually create opportunities for economic innovation and growth.
How so?
Well, states could tailor their economic policies,
okay,
to their specific strengths.
Okay.
And they could attract businesses and investment,
uh-huh,
by offering a more competitive environment.
So like a state could become a tax haven.
Potentially, yeah.
Or specialize in a certain industry.
Right.
Interesting.
So it's not just about risks.
Mm-hmm.
It's also about potential benefits.
Okay.
And it's about weighing those potential costs and benefits.
Yeah.
And deciding what makes the most sense.
For each state?
For each state or each region.
Gotcha.
Okay, but what about international relations?
Oh, yeah. That's a big one.
Wouldn't smaller independent states
mm-hmm.
be more vulnerable to outside pressure?
Right, like from other countries.
Well, even military threats.
Yeah.
I mean, well,
could they defend themselves?
Could they defend themselves? Mm-hmm. And Wood says, well,
yeah.
Smaller nations have historically formed alliances and trade agreements.
Right. They're strengthened numbers.
For mutual benefit.
Yeah.
They can also leverage their unique strengths and resources
okay.
to build relationships on the global stage.
So it's not necessarily a recipe for weakness
wrong.
Or isolation?
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
I mean, think about countries like Switzerland.
Yeah.
Or Singapore.
Tiny countries.
Tiny countries.
But they do pretty well for themselves.
They do pretty well for themselves.
Yeah.
And they've managed to carve out a niche
mm-hmm.
on the world stage through strategic alliances and economic specialization.
That's a good point.
So it's not like it's an automatic recipe for disaster.
Right.
You know?
It's more complicated than that.
It's more complicated than that.
Yeah.
I'm starting to see how this whole think and act locally idea
yeah.
could be pretty empowering.
Yeah, me too.
It's about shifting our focus.
Okay.
From these massive centralized institutions
right.
that often feel very unresponsive
yeah.
to the needs of everyday people
yeah.
and instead looking to our own communities
okay.
to find solutions.
So like a bottom-up approach
yeah.
instead of top-down?
It's about recognizing that real change
mm-hmm.
often starts small
okay.
with individuals coming together
yeah.
to address the challenges they face.
In their own communities.
In their own backyards.
I like that.
Okay, so
yeah.
we've talked about the problems with moral imperialism.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this idea of a national divorce.
Mm-hmm.
We've explored some of the challenges and benefits
yeah.
of a more decentralized system.
It's complicated.
But what does this actually look like in practice?
Right. Like, are there any examples?
Are there any real world examples of places that have actually done this?
Yeah.
And have they been successful?
Yeah. I'm curious about that, too. Lots of examples.
Okay. So give me some.
Well, Woods talks about some states in the U.S.
Okay.
that already have a strong tradition of local control,
mm-hmm.
like New Hampshire,
okay.
Alaska,
okay.
places that have really resisted federal overreach
right.
and prioritized individual liberty and self-reliance.
Okay. So they're kind of already doing.
Yeah, they're kind of already
living. A version of this.
A version of this.
What about internationally?
Oh, yeah. Internationally, there are some really interesting examples. I mean, Switzerland is the classic one.
Yeah.
They have a long history of decentralized governance.
Okay.
Where the cantons have a lot of autonomy over their own affairs.
So it's like a country made up of many countries.
Kind of, yeah. And it's interesting because despite that, they have a very high level of economic prosperity
okay.
and social stability.
So it seems to be working for them.
It seems to be working pretty well.
I mean, it sounds like this whole idea of thinking and acting locally
yeah.
really challenges a lot of our assumptions about how society should be organized.
It does.
You know, it's like we're so used to thinking
yeah.
that everything has to be top down.
Big government.
Big government.
Yeah.
You know, big institutions.
Right.
But what Woods is saying is,
what if we flipped that?
What if we flipped that?
Yeah.
And we actually empowered communities.
Give power to the people.
To shape their own destinies.
I like that.
Yeah. It's a very different way of looking at things.
It is.
But are there any downsides?
I mean, there's always downsides to everything, right?
Right.
But I think a lot of the concerns that people have are overblown.
Okay. So, like, what are some of the concerns that people have?
Well, some people worry that it would lead to inequality between states.
Okay. Yeah. Because some states are obviously wealthier than others.
Right. Exactly. But Woods argues that a more decentralized system could actually empower those less wealthy states
okay.
to adopt policies that attract investment and promote economic growth.
So instead of being dependent on the federal government,
yeah.
they could actually take control of their own economic destiny.
Exactly.
Interesting.
And another concern is that it would create like a patchwork of conflicting laws and regulations.
Yeah. That makes sense.
But we already have that to some extent. I mean,
right.
think about things like
yeah.
gun laws,
yeah.
abortion laws.
Taxes.
Yeah. And
there's already a lot of variation between states.
Right. So it's not like it would be this completely foreign concept.
So a more decentralized system wouldn't necessarily create a dramatically different landscape.
Not necessarily, no.
Okay.
And if anything, A more localized approach to governance could actually lead to greater harmony and cooperation between states.
How so?
Well, because they would be working together more directly on issues of mutual concern.
Oh, okay. So instead of having this like adversarial relationship with the federal government, they would actually be working together.
More like a partnership.
More like a partnership.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting idea.
It is.
I think this has been a really fascinating deep dive.
Me too.
You know, it's really challenged my thinking about a lot of these issues.
Yeah, me too. And I think it's really important for people to hear these ideas.
Absolutely.
Even if they don't agree with them.
Even if they don't agree with them.
It's just good to be exposed to different perspectives.
And, you know, if you're interested in exploring these ideas further, definitely check out Tom Woods' free ebooks.
At tomsfreebooks.com.
At tomsfreebooks.com. He's got a ton of great stuff there.
Yeah, he's a really interesting thinker.
Yeah. And, you know, as always, we encourage you to keep learning, keep thinking critically.
Keep an open mind.
Keep an open mind.
And never stop exploring.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And until next time.
Until next time.
Keep on thinking.
And acting locally.
And acting locally.